There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
The Volume.
Boxing with Chris Mannix is presented by FanDuel. Football season is here, and there's no better place to get in the action than with FanDuel. The app is safe, secure, and easy to use. FanDuel always has exclusive offers. When you win, you'll get paid fast. FanDuel has lots of ways to play, like the spread, money line, over-unders, team totals, player props, and so much more. Jump into the action at any time during the game with live betting, combine multiple bets in the same game in a same-game parlay, and try out the same game parlay plus. So use promo code BOXING and download the FanDuel app today to make every moment more this football season.
This is Boxing with Chris Mannix.
Oh, somebody punch him in the face.
Anthony Joshua is a composed and ferocious finisher. Watch this.
Andy Ruiz is the heavyweight champion.
Hosted by SI's Chris Mannix.
That was my moment.
Now with interviews, analysis, and everything going on in the world of boxing.
When you have talent, you are given another chance.
Here's Chris Mannix.
All right, joining me this week, the one and only Gareth A. Davies, Telegraph, Talk Sport, looking more and more like a retired Beatle every day. Just living the dream. We're here in London, where Clarissa Shields and Savannah Marshall will square off on Saturday, recording this in the lobby of the Fight Hotel, where the press conference just took place. Gareth, always good to see you again, my friend.
Can I say cheers and have a little clink?
Yes, I was instructed we have to drink tequila while we record
this. Yeah, a double
this,
so shot of tequila in a glass while we record it. Why not?
At least I should say we got the less expensive version of it. Initially, we're going to go about $240. For the tequila. So.
240 for two doubles. Doubles. Yeah, it was a little bit too much. I won't mention it. I don't know if you're allowed to mention the brands on your show, but
sure, yeah, why not?
Yeah, well, it was a Patron Platinum.
Yeah.
We've gone for a bit of Don Julio in
yes.
the end.
Yeah, still does the job.
Yeah, and we are just to put a picture on it, we are in the lobby of the Riverside Canary Wharf. We are in Canary Wharf, which is in the Docklands of east of London. Mm. It's a beautiful area that was remodeled during the Olympics 10 years ago, but also it's a big business area. Canary Wharf itself is fantastic. It's the old Docklands, this is, and the O2 Arena is a stone's throw from here. In fact, you can walk to it across a little bridge over there, pedestrian bridge. We've had a lot of press conferences here for Anthony Joshua in the past, people like that. Eddie Hearn uses it regularly, but we're here today with Boxer and Top Rank and Sky Sports. It's great to be here. It's great to see you in the UK. I don't know about... When people start saying retired, the one and only retired, it means you're getting a bit too old for it. But oh. It's lovely to be here and see you in person. Last time, a few times we've done this.
Virtually.
I've been in a hotel room, you've been wherever you are in America, and we've done it virtually. So great to be here with you in what is a historic week for the sport in terms of 20 women fighters on one card.
Incredible. I want to get into that. But before we do, we talk about the card happening this week. What the hell is going on with Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua? To recap for the audience, last week, Tyson Fury called out, said, let's get a fight done, Alexander Usyk, the unified heavyweight champion, just beat Anthony Joshua on August 20th. Usyk came back and said, I'm not ready to go until 2023. So Fury turned his attention to Anthony Joshua, his longtime domestic rival, said, let's do a fight, AJ, in December. AJ, at least on social media, accepted. There have been, at the very least, preliminary discussions between Frank Warren and Eddie Hearn about a fight. Gareth, this feels awfully tight to be putting together a fight of this magnitude. How much credence do you give these talks for a Fury-AJ fight before the end of the year?
The purse split might have been agreed 60-40, but the chance of the fight happening before the end of the year, I think, is about 98-2. I.e. 2% chance of happening. And I think after today, and we're recording on Thursday,
right,
ahead of the fight, and it was obviously Monday that he called out Joshua, that Fury called out Joshua, I think it'll be probably 1% or zero. The thing is, looking at it from the outside, yes, it is an opportunity for Anthony Joshua to get in through the back door and try and win and become a three-time heavyweight world champion. But the way boxing works and the negotiations that need to take place for a fight that's probably worth $100 million, you can't get it done in a couple of days. You can get the agreements there, but I think there's just been a lot of posturing around this, and that's what it is. And people can sit out there and say, yeah, but you should just take it. And no, it's not. I hate to say this because I sound like an old fart sometimes. This is not how boxing works. And it's not how big business works. Big companies don't merge in a week. There's preliminary agreements. They start to go through things. They've agreed a 60-40 split, and they were talking about a second fight, but they're all playing a game. Tyson Fury, it's not a ruse. He means it, I think. He'd love to get Joshua out of the way this year and fight Usyk next year, and he's cleaned out the era. And I do think he needs to do that to prove himself as the supreme heavyweight of the era. I don't think there's anyone else really knocking around that he needs to do it against. But as you saw, they all agreed because they weren't ever going to agree on the dates. November 26th, December 3rd from Tyson Fury to Anthony Joshua. Eddie Hearn knew that the Warrens, Queensbury Promotions, had booked the 17th of December as well, Cardiff. But that was in the event of Fury fighting Usyk. Fury could come forward and say, yeah, all right, December the 17th then. But I think they'll find some way of getting out of it, one side or the other. Fury would take Joshua now, there's no doubt about it. Joshua shouldn't take Fury right now. Not on the back of back-to-back losses to Alexander Usyk. You talk to any boxing sage, anyone that's been in the sport for a long time, go and knock out a couple of bums, rebuild yourself. There are six fights left for Anthony Joshua where he could now, I mean, I'm talking real terms here. There are six fights left for him, couple of bums, Dillian White, Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury, Usyk again if he wants to, mm-hmm, later down the line, and probably Joe Joyce. All those fights, and there are a couple more as well if he wants them. It's worth $150 million, those fights as well. He's got an amazing deal with DAZN. If he loses against Fury in December, and he is rebuilding from the mental and physical catastrophes that he had, catastrophes is a strong word, shortfalls that he had against Usyk, he loses in that fight in December, or Fury stops him, it's a huge climb back if he ever does climb back after that, in my view. So I don't think it'll get made, but it does excite us. And if they do get it done, I'm all in.
I mean, out of nowhere with all that. Like, I was stunned that AJ was even considering. And I think he would have looked bad if he didn't consider it. But I'm with you. Like,
they're posturing, aren't they?
Yeah, total posturing. And I think Eddie Hearn's been trying to call some bluffs here and say, like, all right, we'll agree to this, we'll agree to that. Yeah. I'll just do it on December 17th. I'm with you. I think AJ's next fight, if it's in December or January, like, is Dave Allen still fighting? Like, somebody along that level. To get some confidence back. If you want to do one more like that, fine, but I wouldn't mind a Dillian White fight in the first quarter of 2023. And if he wins those two fights, he's kind of back, at least on the big stage, and then you can start looking at Deontay Wilder, who might be coming off a win over Andy Ruiz. He might have two wins in a row. That fight is massive in the U.S. or in the U.K. And then Fury, we both know. You know Fury better than I do, but he's not going to retire. He's never going to retire. He's going to keep going and going and fake retiring every 6 months and come back, because what else is he going to do? He loves his family. I'll give him that, but he can't sit still. He can't just be
a
family man.
Go over it. Think of it like this, Mr. Mannix. He gave me an exclusive the other day. He was fighting the mountain, this world's strongest man.
He flew to, where was it? Where did he fly to?
He flew to Iceland to see him. But he was in Milan. But
it's amazing. But drank while he was there, at least.
Bjornason was in Milan. Wasn't even there.
I love the mountain. I love Game of Thrones.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and it was a fun exhibition fight. And I was actually with him on tour, Tyson Fury, on his speaking tour, hosting him one night, where he was actually talking to him live. And so I know that it was genuine, that they were trying to set it up. Then he was fighting Derek Chisora, and he offered him out. Then he'd retired again. Then he wanted to fight Anthony Joshua for nothing. Then he wanted to fight Anthony Joshua, and I did this story with him myself, for half a billion pounds or dollars. Then he was retiring again. Then he wanted to fight Usyk. Then he retired again. Now he wanted to fight Anthony Joshua. So, you know, that's Tyson. He's erratic in that way. And the trouble is, when you've got that kind of appeal that he now has, that kind of mainstream appeal, you know, the Twitter sphere goes mad, social media goes mad, the newspapers then follow. Mm-hmm. And so I'm following the story at the moment. I shall be writing about it later because it's kind of dominated the boxing news agenda this week. You know, in a week when there's a lot of other things going on, you know?
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, look, if you're Fury, like, I wouldn't mind revisiting the Chisora stuff. Like, if you really want to fight somebody in December, like, Chisora probably up for it. Like, you pay him a little bit of money, you get him in the ring.
No, he'll need $2 million, I think.
Which I think is reasonable, like, for a fight like that.
I think
like
that's
that.
What they offered Chisora, apparently.
I would tell you this. The problem with Fury, though, is he wants these fights, but he wants to get paid commensurate with these fights. And that money isn't always there. Mm. Like, it's not there on pay-per-view to give him the dollar figures he's looking. That's why whenever I talk to Top Rank in the U.S., which is a partner, obviously, with Fury, they're like, no. This was, remember, like 2 years ago when he was going to fight Ajit, what's his name?
Katbayel.
Yeah. Like, they're like, it's not going to happen because Fury wants X, and that money simply isn't there.
Sellable.
So it's not sellable. So, well, we'll see. If he wants to do Chisora, fine, but let's kick Joshua to 2023. All right. The reason we are here at this hotel is because we have a terrific women's card headlined by Clarissa Shields and Savannah Marshall. As you mentioned, what, 20 women on this card. The co-main is excellent. Michaela Mayer against Alicia Baumgartner. Michaela is joining me later in the show. How big is this fight domestically? Like, Savannah Marshall versus Clarissa Shields. Give me a taste of kind of how significant this fight is in the UK.
Well, look, it's on Sky. They've decided to... Sky Sports is the equivalent of ESPN in America. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know,
they're putting it everywhere. Every time I turn the TV on in the hotel, there's some kind of special on one of those two fights.
Yeah, it's a big event. I had several discussions with Ben Shalom. You know, as we do, we get more involved with the promoters as we get involved in the industry for a long time. And he was going to put it on in Newcastle, and I got that. And they'd sell out 10,000, but they've taken the gamble of doing it at the O2 Arena. Which is a fantastic arena for boxing. You've been in there yet in the
big
tent? You've been there before, haven't you? Yeah. It's going to be an amazing atmosphere in there. They reckon 35% of the tickets have been bought by women. So that's going to create a new atmosphere in itself. I was there for KSI and Swarms the other day. That was a DAZN Misfits card. It's an amazing atmosphere. Different. And it'll be different again on Saturday night. Women fights are different. How big is the resonance here in the UK? They've really pushed hard to make it very resonant. They've worked really hard on... I think I agree with the top line. It's the biggest female card of all time. Mm-hmm. I do agree with that. Listen, you can go back through Mia St. John, Layla Ali, Christy Martin. I covered all the bits of these people's career. I don't know if you were there years ago, but I covered Layla Ali and Jackie Frazier Lied in a circus tent in Syracuse, New York State. And that was fantastic. And that felt quite big. The old men were still alive and there then. Mm. Trito Trinidad was there. I think Bernard Hopkins there. It was a really big tent. 6,000 people in there. That felt like a big occasion for women's boxing. This is a big occasion. My fear is that this fight, the styles in this fight, we may not get a tear-up like we got in Madison Square Garden between Amanda Serrano and Katie Taylor. That was, and you were there working on it. I was there working on it. It was extraordinary. I took my new girlfriend. She'd never been to boxing. She could not believe it. She wanted to take up boxing. Mm-hmm. All friends and family watched it and were amazed. I've got to watch women's boxing. More eyes will be on this than ever before. But I think the show will be stolen by the Michaela Meyer, Alicia Baumgardner fight for three of the world title belts at super featherweight rather than this, all the belts in the Ring magazine at middleweight. Because I think this is going to be a cagey affair between two women in Shields and Marshall that have a 10-year rivalry that both of them believe they have the rights to walk away as the winner from. It's a very, very difficult one. It's why I asked at the press conference today, Chris, is there a rematch? Because we're going to need one, I think.
Yeah,
I really do.
My understanding, I think it was explained at the press conference, is that Ben Shalom and Sky effectively have the rematch clause. Like, it's not Claressa has one, you know, Savannah has one. It's if this is incredibly marketable, they can exercise the rematch. Although Claressa can just turn around and say, I'm going to go do MMA and screw you. Like, I'm just going to do it. So we'll see. We'll see. I mean, look, both these women, if this is a great fight on the level of Taylor Serrano, the money's going to be even more. They're going to want to get back in the ring with each other, you know, once again. So I don't think, yeah, rematch clause, we'll see what happens there. But
do you not see in the two styles that Clarissa's going to push forward and Marshall's going to dance and try
well,
and
let me. This is what I was going to ask you about. Like, I don't think a lot of people in the U.S. are familiar with Clarissa. She won two gold medals. She's fought most of her career in the United States. They
is
know
she
what
big?
She's known. I don't know. She hasn't really headlined in a big venue at this point. Her best venues have been in Detroit, Michigan, you know, near where she grew up. She's certainly well-known, but as far as being a headliner, probably not. And that's why we're here, quite frankly. Like, we're in the U.K., where Savannah Marshall is equally or more known as well. So let me ask you that. Like, Savannah Marshall, to a lot of U.S. fans, is still relatively unknown. They know the storyline, why this matchup is spicy. They know that Savannah Marshall beat Claressa Shields in the amateur ranks 10 years ago, and that's not at Claressa Shields ever since. In your opinion, how good is Savannah Marshall?
Well, she's good enough to have beaten Claressa Shields in the amateurs at the World's Amateur Championships and become the number one and go into the Olympics here 10 years ago. It's 10 years ago, pretty much, to the day.
Time flies.
Yeah, doesn't it? You were over for that.
I was at Rio for the 2016 Olympics.
And you were at 2012 as well, I think.
London, yeah, I was here
Here. Yep. It's 10 years we've aged.
Incredible.
Not a day we've aged,
Gareth.
Exactly.
What are you
talking
about?
Those women, at that time, were very different, and they've both grown enormously. Claressa Shields is fighting here. One of the reasons is because she won the Olympic gold here. In my view, if we're going back to this original question, how good is Savannah Marshall? She's got a lot better under Peter Fury. She's found this style of dancing a lot on the outside and using her height and reach advantages and then coming in with power when she's in close. Has she been really tested? I don't think so. I think these two are both levels above everyone else. That's why I'd like to see them have a trilogy of fights, because they are in a different level. Yes, maybe both of them can go up and fight HH Diva, who's a different kind of brawler. Obviously, Claressa's fought HH Diva. I watched it. It was Hagler Hearns'
debut fight. Her debut.
It was on the undercard.
Both their debuts, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It was on the undercard of Ward and Kovalev 2, wasn't it? I think.
Yeah.
Mustn't eat while we're doing the podcast. Some food's arrived, and I was about to tuck in. I think Savannah Marshall's going to be hit more than she's ever been hit in this fight. Because Shields does close the distance and let her hands go. I think she's probably got a great chin as well, and I don't think she may go down and get up, Shields. I think she might well do.
She was down once in her career. Hannah Gabriels put her down first round of that fight.
Yeah, but the thing is, we're going to be 7-8 rounds into this fight before we know it. These two-minute rounds go so quickly.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a tight affair. One will win it, one will win another. I don't see knockouts. I don't see them going toe-to-toe very much. I see it being a cagey, technical fight between two very clever, very elite fighters protecting unbeaten records and going after all the belts. There's so much at stake here.
I think the big question is Savannah as heavy-handed as she seems? Like, her early fights have shown a tremendous right hand, great pop, great power with that straight right hand. To your point, I think Peter Fury has done an excellent job in cultivating that, in making her a cleaner puncher. But Claressa is really active, and she throws from angles, and she's highly skilled. My only concern...
I think Shields went on the outside, on paper. Shields wins on points in a very close fight.
I even think it might be a little bit wider. I feel like it has a 7-3 potential to it. I could be wrong, but I think Claressa's skill level is just a little bit higher. And she's also not, like, as much as she talks about power, doesn't really have it. Like, Claressa's not a power puncher. She likes to think she is, but she's not a power puncher. Maybe she would have more knockouts if she fought lesser competition early in her
she
career.
She gets off balance a lot when she throws.
A little
when
bit.
She gets overexcited.
Little bit. It's a little, no, I won't say it's amateur, but
male boxers do that as well,
correct.
By the way.
And plus, when you're a decorated amateur, you don't fight the pro style as well. Like, it takes you some time to adapt and become a sit down in your punches. She's got the right trainer. John David Jackson is an excellent trainer when it comes to that. Worked with Sergey Kovalev during Kovalev's prime years of his career. So I get the feeling it has, there's some moments for Savannah Marshall, but Claressa Shields' skill level will rise above.
But what if Savannah Marshall
catches her? That's the game changer.
Comes in hard late in the fight, closes it, and it's a controversial split points decision.
We're right back here in 3 months.
Exactly.
Then, and they'll be interested in it too. Like just like there was more interest in Taylor Serrano too, there'll be interest in a fight between those two women as well. You mentioned the undercard, which I think has a chance to steal the show. Michaela Mayer, Alicia Baumgartner, another event where there's no love lost between these women. Michaela Mayer has been the more celebrated of the two, U.S. Olympian in 2016, first female fighter signed by Top Rank. You know, has been given ESPN televised slots, whereas Alicia Baumgartner kind of fighting in the shadows a little bit, fighting in the lower tier of boxing. How competitive do you think this fight is?
Well, I finished my hummus and pita bread. I think it's a really competitive fight. I think it's Michaela Mayer's fight to lose, probably, stylistically, because she's the longer, taller, rangier athlete with a very good jab. A very good amateur pedigree. And as Michaela said to me in a very interesting interview recently, this is the last generation in which women are going to become able to come in straight into the pros and be a pro. They're not going to be able to anymore off this. They're all going to have long amateur pedigrees. They're going to have to be schooled because the sport's changing and women's sport's really changing. Baumgartner is the explosive super athlete for me. Look at her. She's incredible physically. I don't mean that in any male way looking at a woman. Her physiology and her musculature is just staggering. Staggeringly beautiful as well. She's a beautiful human being. Like, if Anthony Joshua is an Adonis, she's a female Adonis, you know, Adonises maybe. But she is. She's extraordinarily powerful. You see her sprint work in some of the videos. You see her physical workouts, her power. But she's 3 inches shorter. She's not as experienced as Michaela. She's got less tools at her disposal. So I expect a clever boxing match with a couple of troubled moments for Michaela Mayer, and I expect her to win it, you know, 6-4 or maybe even 7-3. But again, she mustn't be drawn into a toe-to-toe battle with Baumgartner, because Maeve Hamadouche, fine. But not Baumgartner.
What Baumgartner wants to drag her into. Like, that's what a lot of this trash talk has been about. Like, get in there, fight with me, throw punches. Baumgartner, of course, doesn't have the amateur background that Michaela Mayer has. But that may, look, I think for women especially, that may work for them. Like, look at some of the bigger punchers in women's boxing. Sinisa Strada in the lower ranks, Amanda Serrano in the mid ranks, now here with Alicia Baumgartner. The common thread there is not a deep amateur background. They grew up as pros. Like, sit down your punches since you're 8 years old. And that might work for her in a fight like this. She's not going to outskill Michaela. You and I think, would agree on that. But if she lands the shot that put Terry Harper out on her feet, she might be able to hurt her as well.
Yeah, I think Terry Harper's a different physical animal to Michaela Mayer. I mean, like you say, she's always been a very great physical athlete. You know, her dad was a soccer coach, wasn't she? As she said, she grew up tripping over footballs, basically, with two left feet, as we say, and wasn't talented at soccer. But I think they've done a good job with Michaela Mayer of Top Rank recently. And you know, I'd say Melissa Melt PR has done a great job with her as well. And just getting Michaela to be out there a bit more. You know, there's something trendy about her now. For me, she says a lot of the right things. And she's very, I think all these women are extraordinary you know, we have to bow down as men to their extraordinariness as women. We admire a lot of male fighters, but have a lot of admiration for these women. As Michaela said to me, if I can get a good victory here and call out Choi, if Choi doesn't want it, that's the last belt holder in the super featherweight division. I want that fight signed. If she doesn't want to do it, I'm moving up to lightweight and I want to fight Katie Taylor. And I think if Michaela Meyer wins this really convincingly, she's quite a good prospect for Taylor. As is Natasha Jonas, by the way, who won at the weekend. A rematch with Taylor and Jonas is good as well.
Well, if Katie wants to go back to the U.S. and fight, Michaela's the fight, for
exactly.
sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's a New York or L.A. or even Vegas exactly. type of fight.
Exactly. But as we say all the time, one of the things that I find as I get older and I've been involved in boxing 30 years now and journalism 32 is it's so weird how just being in Saudi Arabia for a big and very different fight in which we're finishing at 6 in the morning. It felt like an Olympics, buses to different venues all the time. And I'd do it differently if I went another time. Then back for KSI and Swarms, a YouTuber celebrity influencer week. Now this completely different, like a side street we're going down with a really great explosion at the end of the week with 20 women fighting on a card. Look at boxing's ability to do different things and be creative. Mm-hmm. I know you love your basketball and NFL's huge in America and Premier League football and Champions League is huge here, but it's formatted. It's the action just there. But I've got to applaud boxing for its creativity. Mm-hmm. We've come out of lockdown in a really good way. It's a very interesting place, a very interesting kind of landscape to inhabit. You know, because it's so creative, it really stimulates the mind. And I don't know if you feel the same, because we've been in this for so long.
I do feel the same. I feel like boxing, when it's at its best, is unrivaled. And we can sit here and quibble over when it's not its best. We debate, you know, Crawford Spence and fights that don't happen and things like that. But when they do, when we get a card like Taylor versus Serrano, when we get a card like this, 20 women fighting on it, two explosive main and co-main events that have the potential to be riveting, you know, in the case of Mayor Baumgartner, fight of the year type of fights, you know, a grudge match with, you know, Shields and Marshall. I think it's great. I think it's terrific. So I'm looking forward to both. I don't know if I'm quite as excited, Gareth, as I was for Taylor Serrano, but it's close. Like it's I'm ready for Saturday, man.
What they did very cleverly in New York, which they could have done a bit more here, they should have got some messages from Serena Williams this week about these women fighting and about how Clarissa Shields is great. I think they could have gone broader and wider. In New York, they got Billie Jean King. They got I don't know their names, but they got African American senators. They got Mexican American senators.
They had everybody.
They had everybody, and I think that really resonated, and it was Madison Square Garden.
And they were on Good Morning America.
Yeah, like exactly. They got that kind of thing.
Good Morning America touches an audience that boxing never touches.
Yeah, exactly. And they were very loved, I heard, that morning when they went on there as well. It really resonated with the audience. You know, 1 million people, was it 1.5 million worldwide watched it, something like that? It's great.
Yeah.
1.5 million people will have had their views and perception shifted one way or the other on women's boxing. It's always about perception shift. It's always about eyes on people. It's always about narrative, the background, the storytelling. That's why we're in this. Because there are extraordinary people that we talk about.
Yeah,
I don't think this is as big as that. It captured the imagination. But I have noticed it growing. And today it's grown a lot bigger.
Yeah,
I mean, there are things going on in the background in our country today that may affect it again. And that'll probably be clearer when the podcast emerges, when your great show emerges. But it's growing, it's big. 15,000 people at the O2 Arena is a big event. And all the media that needs to be here is here, by the way.
I agree. It should be a great show. Gareth, always good to catch up with you, man. Looking forward to seeing you again on Saturday night.
Thank you.
And when we come back, my conversation with Michaela Mayer. Well, the NFL season is upon us, and you want to kick off week one with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Join today to get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up with promo code BOXING to get in on the action. Then you could turn game day into payday all season long. You can do win totals, division winners, Super Bowl winners, player props, everything. Week one spreads and totals, you name it. Play your way and bet on more than just the final score. Wager on everything from touchdowns to total yards to catches. You can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay. Don't fumble your chance to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, with promo code BOXING. FanDuel is now live in Kansas. That's right, FanDuel is in the great state of Kansas. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. All right, Mikayla Mayer is here, unified 130-pound champion. On Saturday, she will look to add a third piece of that title to her resume. She takes on Alicia Baumgartner. That is a fight that takes place in London, where we are recording this in a hallway outside the press conference. First time in London for you as a fighter, right? You've been broadcasting for Sky for a little while, but first time as a fighter.
Yeah, I've been here about four times in the last year and a half, but yeah, first time fighting.
Yeah. They do. It's one thing I've noticed being here. Like, they really push boxing stuff. Like, I turn the TV on, there's stuff of you. There's stuff of Claressa. There's a lot going on here when it comes to this fight.
That's one of the reasons why me and my team wanted to get me out here. Because, honestly, it's a little bit tougher in America, as we have seen. You know, I was just telling everyone this, that I was top-ranked only fighter for 5 years, and they finally added Sunisa. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful for that. And people think, like, wow, it took so long. But I'm like, honestly, that's a big step. The market is tough in America, and boxing's not our top sport like it is here. You got boxing, you got soccer, or football, they call it.
Correct, yeah.
But we got the NBA, the NFL, everything going on in America, and there's just so much competition.
Does it feel bigger here in, like, the days and weeks that you've been here? Does it feel like this is a big event?
Oh, yeah. This is definitely, like, by far the most media, the biggest build-up to a fight. I think, like, naturally, I'm ready for this. It's time. We're just where my career has been going. It's constantly been elevating, and this is a big fight, and I feel like I'm ready for all this spotlight, but I also think it's part of being here in the UK.
I want to ask you about this fight, but you are a former U.S. Olympian, 2016 Olympics. It was recently announced that, or at least the events were listed for the L.A. Olympics 2028. Right now, boxing is not listed on it. Now, we both know that can change, but like, what's your reaction to at least the potential that boxing could be eliminated from the Olympics?
That's just insane. I mean, boxing was one of the first Olympic sports ever, right? It's kind of like when they tried to take wrestling out. It's just, you can't. You can't be adding these newer sports, like, I think recently surfing, right? Which is cool and everything, but take out the OG of the Olympics, like, which is boxing. So I think it's just a little bit of a scare tactic. There's some things that the organization needs to get together, you know, and it's probably for the best, honestly, and hopefully they take care of it and they let these athletes back in.
What did the Olympics mean for your career? Like, what kind of bounce did that give you as you started to look to the pros?
Not even just me. I'm talking about this sport as a whole, especially for women. It allowing us to compete in the Olympics gave us the opportunity to compete at the highest level. And that was so important, because that's the opportunity that the men had for years and decades and decades. And that's why they're at the level that they are. And people can say there's a huge talent gap between men and women, but we're now able to compete at the highest level, compete in the Olympics. And that's what's going to continue to elevate the sport.
I saw you last at the Taylor Serrano show. I haven't talked to you about that since then, but, like, being there and being part of the biggest women's fight in history, seeing the reaction from the crowd, seeing the size of the crowd, like, did that give you any kind of extra kind of push as you kind of looked at what you want to do in your career?
Oh, yeah, that pumped me up big time. And I'm feeling like this is, you know, maybe it's not to that extent just yet, but I am feeling like me versus Baumgartner has become a mega fight. And obviously Shields and Marshall too. And to have all three of these fights happen in 1 year time, 1 year's time, we don't even have to say anything. It's just proof. It's just facts. Like, it is what it is. Women's boxing is here to stay.
What you anticipated Taylor Serrano looking like and what it was, like, did that meet your expectations? Did it exceed your expectations?
I knew it would be a huge fight. I really did. I genuinely believed it would be a massive fight. I'm saying massive now. That's how long I've been in the UK. I really believed it. So I wasn't shocked, but definitely being there and just seeing that Madison Square Garden, the big room, like sold out was, you know, it's one thing to believe in it and then to be there, witness it and see it. It was definitely awesome. But I knew it. I knew it was going to be great.
So you've been a headliner on ESPN cards in the U.S. A few times now. Mm-hmm. This is the co-main event to Clarissa Shields, Savannah Marshall. This easily could have been a main event in the U.S. or anywhere else for that matter. Talk to me about like why you were okay with this being a co-main, why you wanted to be part of this card. What was that thinking like?
First of all, yes, these two fights could have definitely stood on their own. But I'm trying not to get too caught up in the word co-main. Like, I feel like this is a huge fight. I feel like the fans see this as a huge fight. And so I'm not going to let my ego get involved in that. But there's two things that I care about when I worry about these type of things and putting together a fight. Like, my money, number one. Like, am I getting paid what I feel like I deserve? And are people going to see it? Is it going to be a big turnout? Is it going to be a great entertaining fight and show? And I got both of those because my purse was negotiated before we decided to join forces with Shields Marshall. So that wasn't a concern of mine. And it just made it even more possible for more people to see it. It made it even on a bigger scale and a grander scale. Mm. And it was awesome to me. I think it sounded like a great, I want to cuss right now, but probably not going to. Oh yeah, don't. It's an awesome idea. It's badass. So, and I still believe that. Like, I'm glad I stuck to my guns on it because it's turning out to be really, really, really awesome.
You are allowed to curse on this show. Oh, I am. Okay, yes, cool. Sergio Mora curses all the time when I talk to him. Biggest fight of your career? Is this?
Oh yeah, of course. Mm. I mean, you'd be stupid. I don't know what Baumgartner is saying, but this is a huge fight. This is a huge, huge fight. We've created this rivalry that is, I think, important for women's boxing, but. Of course, for the entertainment factor, but there's some serious hardware on the line. Like, we both have these goals of going undisputed, and so this is either going to make or break that goal for one of us. Mm. Her, not me, but I'm saying it's a massive fight and the biggest fight that we've ever, each one of us have ever been in.
I don't know where the bad blood came from between you two, because like you were calling out title holders, not necessarily who was holding those titles right there. Like, when did you kind of strike you that like, all right, maybe this girl really doesn't like me and maybe this is going to become like a thing?
I realized that when she started doing interviews after she won, like she has not liked me for a long time. Like, I just found out about this girl in the pros. She's apparently, I've been on her radar for years and it makes sense because I was on the national team number one in the amateurs coming up in the division that she was trying to make it at. And I never heard of her. So she's had it out for me for years, I guess. I don't know. But to me, it wasn't personal. It's become a little personal, obviously. But to me, it really was just about going after the champions and making the biggest possible fights. Mm. For her, it was personal off the bat.
What made it personal for you? Was it something that was said or something that evolved?
Just the back and forth. You know, I think that... I feel like when I have spoken about her, it's me saying, like, let's fight. Mm. That's initially just how it started. Like, let's fight. Let's get this fight on for the fans. Mm. You're the champ now. Like, I'm coming for it. Like, I'm going to be undisputed. I'm the best in this division. Just, you know, champ stuff. Mm. But her shit talk was a little bit, like, low blows. Like, just basically trying to put me down and everything that I've accomplished, not giving me any respect. Mm. Talking about dumb things like the way I look and things that are so irrelevant. And to me, I can't respect that kind of trash talk. Like, just speak facts. Mm. So I don't know.
It feels like this is, as I look at it from afar, it feels like it's been framed like Rocky III in a way. If you remember, you know, Mr. T, like the person coming up the ranks that nobody appreciated, then you get framed as like Rocky that... with the silver spoon at this point. Like, do you feel like you're getting treated like that?
I wish I could relate to what you're saying, except I've never seen Rocky.
Wait a minute. How has...
I swear.
Any of them?
None of them.
None of them.
None of them.
You know, I'm in the new one. Coming
you
up.
You are?
Coming up. Me and Todd
now
Grisham. We're calling it. We are the broadcast. How have you not... How are you as a boxer not seen any of the Rocky movies?
I haven't. I don't know. Like, I remember vaguely seeing it.
This is now the headline of the show, by the way.
You never know with your reporters, right?
Yeah.
I remember vaguely seeing parts of him, like, chasing a chicken when I was a kid on the TV as I was walking past the living room. Like, I never sat down and watched these, so I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm sure you're right.
All right, so I guess the way it is, like, she's the unheralded fighter that never got the opportunities, and you're the you know, the pretty girl, so to speak, that gets all like the easy opportunities.
Listen, she had all the opportunities that I had, if not more. She started boxing when she was 18. Chris, okay, I didn't walk into boxing gym when I was 17 years old, first fight at 8. Sorry, when she was 8. I walked in the gym at 17, took my first boxing fight at 18. Like, there were no opportunities for any of us, but we hustled and we made sure we showed up to those national tournaments and that we won. Because that was what was going to get you to where you wanted to be, which was on an Olympic team, on a national team. So that's what I did. I hustled and I grinded and I put everything into it. There was no opportunity. I don't know what her excuse is. She wants to make an excuse like I got to where I got out of like some luck or some privilege. But I didn't. I grinded my ass to where I am right now. And she fell short.
Yeah,
and she got her opportunity now, but...
Yeah, everyone in women's boxing had to grind, especially when you came. I mean, it wasn't what it was in 2016 when you came out of the Olympics. There was no support for pros at that point.
Nothing. When I first started boxing, there was no one was allowing us to compete in the Olympics, and pros weren't signing us. I don't even know what the hell I was thinking. Like, I was, like, just crazy, just in love with the sport and figuring out. I'd figure it out along the way, and that's what I did.
Last couple of things. You've studied her, obviously. Do you look at this as a difficult fight for you?
Every fight for me at coming up to this point is difficult in a big fight. Like, I'm not looking past anybody. I've told everybody that I have trained for a very, very tough, strong version of Baumgartner. But ultimately, my confidence level, I do believe I'm the greater, more complete fighter, and I do feel like I'm going to overwhelm her. If she does have the power that everyone's talking about, then I got to be careful that I don't get countered and caught with that right hand. And I'm realistic about that, and I've come up with a strategy to try to avoid that. But you know, we'll see when I get in there with her.
You've said first few rounds is when she's dangerous. Like, how do you have to fight in those first few rounds?
Is this going on before the fight or after the fight?
This will be on before. How careful do you have to be, I guess? This will be before the fight, so I don't want to give away too much. But
I'll say this. You guys know my style.
Yeah.
I end up, at some point in the fight, I take it to my fighter and I back them up. And that's my style, and that's what Coach Al has always instilled in me, because he wants me to be excited and he wants me to shut it out. So it's going to get to that point eventually. But
it feels like
get
she wants to lure you
first.
Into a dogfight. Like, she wants to lure you into like a street fight.
Oh, I don't
there.
Think so. Yeah. That's what she keeps talking like, you guys. But she doesn't. She's not a dog like fighter. She does not lure people into street fights. This girl wants to stay at her perfect space and counter and catch you. Even like, this is the perfect example. If you watch her last fight with Matisse, Matisse was levels below her, right? Like, she should have gotten her out of there. But her plan is to catch you and counter you and land that perfect shot. And when she doesn't do that, she doesn't have that third, fourth gear. She doesn't put you on your back foot and back you up and get you up against the rope. She doesn't have that dog in her that... I don't know where people are getting this. Where did you get it from?
I mean, her.
Her, yeah. So she doesn't...
I mean, look, everybody, and I think I was part of the broadcast of the Terry Harper fight. Everybody looks at that, and the knockout was spectacular. It was the knockout of the year, or one of, anyway. And I think that's where a lot of it... If it does not, that's not where it comes from, it's why a lot of people believe it, because that punch put Terry Harper out on her feet.
Yeah, I mean, she's got to land it. She's got to land it. She's got to be set to land it. She's not the type, like a Hamadouche type, who's going to push me back and overwhelm me with shots. That's more me.
That was a tough fight.
Yeah, that's what she really has to get ready for me, because if she can't land that right hand, she does have to go into a tough 10-round fight, which she's only been in one full 10-rounder, by the way. Then she's in foreign territory.
Well, good luck, Michaela. And it's like a 6 or 7 hour flight to get back. Would you please watch a couple of Rocky movies there? I mean, just like find the best ones, like one at least. And then like, don't watch five. Five's terrible.
Oh my God. There's five.
There's like 10 now.
Oh my God.
And
okay.
There's one Michael B. Jordan and all that stuff. Now you're graduating. So like one or two of them.
All right. I got you.
When we come back, this week's picks brought to you by FanDuel.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Now I'm supposed to talk here about what I remember and what I loved about my first car. And that's easy for me to do because I still have my first car. And as long as it keeps running, and so far so good, I intend to have that car probably until the day I die. That's how much I love that car. It is like a child to me. Now, it does require some upkeep, and that's why I'm grateful for a place like eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED lights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all. But here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right. So what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, time now for this week's picks brought to you by our friends over at FanDuel. I really hope you have been betting with me consistently. Last week, I gave you two more winners. I said Andy Ruiz to win. That was not a difficult pick. Andy Ruiz to win by decision. That one was. Those were good odds. Hope you got rich betting on Andy Ruiz. Had some shaky moments there, Ruiz, where it looked like he was going to pick up a knockout. Guess not really shaky, but he was about to put Luis Ortiz down early in that fight. But that one ended in a decision. Ended for Andy Ruiz, and Ruiz picks up the win. And hopefully you picked up a win as well. This week, the focus is on women's boxing. Clarissa Shields, Savannah Marshall, undisputed middleweight championship, a grudge match between Shields and the only women's boxer who has ever beaten her. Savannah Marshall topped Shields in the amateur ranks about 10 years to go. Now, this fight is very close. Odds makers have gone back and forth. Right now, Shields is a slight favorite over at FanDuel, but I think she's going to win. I like her a lot in this fight. Savannah Marshall is a big puncher, but I think Clarissa Shields is the better boxer here and should win a decision. That is my pick for method of victory as well. And that's where you can make a little bit of money. Clarissa Shields by points or decision is plus 110. So it's not the greatest of odds. The best odds right now are Shields by knockout, but I don't think Clarissa Shields has great power at 160. Certainly not enough to stop someone the caliber of Savannah Marshall. I do think she wins something like a 7-3, 8-2 type of decision because I think she is the better boxer. So this week, take Clarissa Shields to win. Take her to win by decision. Those are my picks brought to you by FanDuel. That's it for this week's episode. My thanks to Gareth A. Davies and Michaela Mayer for joining the show. As always, subscribe, rate, review this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you download podcasts. And I'll see you next week.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events.
With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.